You ever talk to people sometimes and they always give some kind of excuse why they won't come to church? You ever have somebody say, you know, well, it's because of this, or it's because of this. And, you know, but I hear that quite often, you know, and when you really get to talking with people, sometimes they just say stuff, well, I don't go to church because, you know, or they're kind of, well, I used to go to church. Well, then when you really get to talking with them, you kind of understand it's usually because of something that happened or they got something, you know, and usually, you know, those things that are lies of the devil. And that's really what it comes down to. These are lies that get put in. Sometimes they seem a little innocent, you know, sometimes they're kind of relevant, but yet they're lies that the devil wants to use against people to keep them away from church. And I hear this a lot because we live in an area where most people in this area, you know, you're going to find a few, but the majority of the people in our area here, in our community, know something about church or have been to church at one time in their life. And usually there's a reason why they're not coming to church. And a lot of times it's because of something that's happened in the church, either with their family or with them specifically. And so, but, you know, Satan wants to use these things, these situations in the church to distract us or to keep us away from coming. That's what he wants to do. He does not want you to be involved. He does not want you to be connected like we talked about this morning. He does not like when a church gets unified. He doesn't like that. And he'll use any lie in any scheme in any way to keep people, to give somebody this excuse why they won't come to church. I've even heard people say, well, I don't have nothing to wear. I'm thinking, really? You don't have anything to wear you can come to church in? I just seen you at Walmart. You had something to wear there. You know? I mean, these excuses, you know what I'm saying? And so I'm going to talk a little bit about that tonight and how maybe it can help us when we talk to people that try to throw these things at you, like these excuses to say, well, I don't go because of this. And so I'm going to try to get through this tonight. I hope this we can learn from this tonight. So I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, just to, Lord, fill me with your wisdom, Lord, tonight. Let me speak what you want me to say. Lord, let your Holy Spirit be in complete control. And Lord, I just praise you. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name I pray. The first lie that he likes to use is you don't have to go to church. You ever hear somebody say that? You don't have to go to church to be saved. You just don't have to. I mean, it's not that important. You don't have to go to church to even worship. You can worship in a deer stand. You can worship in a fishing boat. You can do that. That's fun. I mean, yeah, you can. You know, I can worship. I can sit at home and watch somebody on TV, and that's good enough. You know, and we hear that. I hear that a lot. You know, and let's look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I'll talk a little bit about this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. It says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. What day approaching? The day approaching that Jesus is going to come back someday. That's the day approaching. And he is going to come back someday. So we have this day approaching, and he says we need to encourage each other. We need to consider how we may spur each other along. Well, how can you do that if you're sitting at home on the couch and you're not connected with the church? And that's what we talked about. Again, I'm kind of talking a little bit into what we talked about this morning or carrying that through to tonight. We need each other, you know, and we're going through this thing together, and we need each other. And that's what I'm saying. We need to encourage each other. We got to spur each other along. I need people in my life that can encourage me when I get down. Because Satan wants me to be down. He wants me to be discouraged. He wants me to think that I'm not good enough. He wants me to think that I'm not saved enough. And that's not true. Because if you've accepted Jesus Christ in your life, you're saved. okay? But I need my church, I need my friends, I need my family to tell me at times and encourage me, spur me along and say, hey, you can do this, brother. We're behind you. You need that as well. And how can you do that without your church? Amen? Amen. So that right there is a lie completely right there. We need our church family. You need that in your life. Yes, you can praise God in a tree stand. Yes, you can praise God driving down the road. Yes, you can do those things. And they're important, and you should do those things. Because every day of our life, you know, Paul says, pray without ceasing. We got to pray. We got to be, you know, in conversation or in that. Our thoughts need to be for God and with God at all times. Because that's what keeps us from getting deceived by these thoughts that we're talking about tonight. Because people will use any excuse they can not to come to church. Because it takes effort. It takes an effort to get up in the morning, to get dressed, to come to church. It does. It's worth it to me. Amen. That's right, Teddy. And that's the one time a week I get to do that. You know, when you don't go to church, you get disconnected from people. You get disconnected from people, and then you're weaker. You know, and it's harder for you to live your Christian life when you're not connected with other people. It is. And so that's the first lie right there. You know, God loves unity, and, you know, He loves His people. And that's how when people outside the church see this unified body, these good things going on, they want what we have. And I want to say that too. People like to see that in a church. You don't have to go to church. That's a lie. Okay? Number two, church is full of hypocrites. How many times have you heard that? There's a bunch of hypocrites in that church. Well, let me tell you, there's hypocrites everywhere. You can either go to church with them or go to hell with them. Which one do you want to do? I'm sorry, it's the truth. I mean, you can either be like them or not be like them. You can let them deceive you, let them discourage you, let them keep you out of church. Or you can just say, hey, I'm not going to worry about the hypocrites because I can. If you're in the world, there's hypocrites in the world. There's hypocrites at my work. There's hypocrites everywhere. Yeah, there's hypocrites in the church as well. Listen, that's not why we come. I don't come for the hypocrites. But guess what? What better place for the hypocrites to be but to be in the church? There's a chance for them that they can change their ways. Amen? Amen? I mean, that's what it's all about, right? There's none of us perfect. I've been a hypocrite before. I have. I've been a hypocrite before. 1 Corinthians 6, chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's look at that. I'll get done for an hour and a half at least tonight. I got 7 of these points. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Verna's so good about getting this up here. I'm going to read quite a bit right here. Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Listen to that. Neither sexual immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. Hear that? Think about that. There's hypocrites in the church. But guess what? You know, we're all have been there. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. We've all been there. But those who have received Christ in their life and had forgiveness, we're different now, right? But it doesn't mean that we can't be deceived, like it said, by some if we take our eyes off the one who's important, the one that we come for, the one that we come to serve and to praise and to honor and glorify. If we take our eyes off of them and start watching the others. Listen to me. Because it says right here, he gives this whole list of people, the sexual immoral, the idolaters, the adulterers, the drunkards, the greedy, the slanderers, the swindlers. These people will not inherit the kingdom of God. And he said, but you were like them. You were like some of them. You were them at one time. And then it goes on, but you were washed. You were sanctified. And you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Amen. See, we were like that. But how did we get saved? It wasn't from staying in the world. It was from being in the church. Led by a good example, by what I say this morning? By the one and others that lead that example. That's another lie of the devil. Keeping people out of church because they don't want to go to church with hypocrites, but yet they'll work with hypocrites. Amen. Amen. Amen, Brother Curley. Amen. You know, the church is a hospital for people that are sin sick. We have to understand that Jesus can heal people of their sin sickness. And we can't do that. We can't do that, but we can lead by example. We can do the best we can. But that's what church is all about, this connection that we have as a family. And, you know, I need my church. I need the church. You know, there's no better place to be. There's no better place to be. 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let's see if I got that down. I don't know why I've got this marked. It must be good. It must be for a reason. I don't have it in my book here. 5:17. I'll read this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We were all saved, right? We were all given this chance. You know, I love this. You know, we're all new creations. And we didn't get it outside in the world. We didn't become this in the world. We became this in the church, getting connected in the church. And that's my point to that. That, you know, the church is full of hypocrites. That's just another lie. The devil wants to keep people away from the church. Number three, I'm going to go on here. All the church wants is my money. Have you ever heard? Brian's shaking his head about that one. He's like, I heard that one before. I've heard that. I've heard people say, well, the church, all they want is money. All they, you know, they just, that's all, you know, they... And I wonder, okay, I think about that. Okay, why does people say that? Why do people say that? And you know what? I got to studying about this. You know, God doesn't want our money. God doesn't need our money. He doesn't need anything from us. He doesn't. God doesn't need our money. God owns everything. He's in control of everything. He's the only reason why we got a little bit of money in our pocket. Is it? And So that's another lie. He doesn't want our money. He wants our heart. And when you give him his, when you give him your heart, you'll freely give your money. Because you're giving it out of your heart. It's not just giving it. Because it's not yours, and you understand that it's not yours. And the only reason you got it is because it come from him. It's a blessing that he gave you. Some of us, we have very little. But I tell you what, you can do a lot with a little when you trust in him. I mean, I've worried at times, and I'm like, I can't worry about this. I can't worry about this. And God always makes, he always makes it happen in some way, form. And it's never the way I think it should happen. But he always makes it happen. And let's look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. We appear in the Gospels. Where am I at? It says, give and it will be given to you a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Think about that. The measure you use, the measure it will be given. If your heart's with God and you're willing to give, you can't outgive God. That's one thing I will say. You can't outgive him. But he tells you, if you give a good portion, I'll give a good portion as well. And usually God's portions is always greater. It's always more. And you know it comes from him. But it comes from that heart that's willing to give. When you give your heart to God, you're willing to give. And it's out of love. It's not out of duty. It's not out of doing. And so that's another lie of the devil. Number four. Church people have hurt me. I've been hurt by the church. How many people, and I know there may be people here today that's been hurt by the church or hurt by somebody in the church. And don't let that discourage you, though. I want to say, let's look at Psalms. Let's look at Psalms. Go back in the book of Psalms 62. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn, but Psalm 62. Verse 5 says, yes, my soul find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depends on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. I trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him. For God is our refuge. Think about that. Church people have hurt you. Yes. Church people will hurt people. People will hurt you. Period. People will offend you at times. Say things they don't mean sometimes. And maybe they don't do it on purpose. But you can't let somebody take your salvation away from you because you're going to allow that bitterness to fester in your life. Because we're not dependent on people to save us. We put our trust in God. He is the one that saved us. He is the one that takes care of us. He is our rock. He is our salvation. You see what I'm saying? He is that. It's not people. We have good people around us. But people can hurt you at times. And that's another lie that the devil wants to get into you. And he wants to pull you away from the church. And he wants to say, you don't want to go to church because that person hurt you. Well, maybe that person did, but you're not going to church for that person. Amen? You're going to church for you and your relationship with him. So we can't get our eyes on people. It's good to have good friends. I love all of you. But that comes with forgiveness. That's why the Bible we talked about this morning, he says, you got to forgive the one another. It talks about that quite a bit in the Scripture. Forgiving each other. We got to let things go because we're not here for that person. We're here for us and him. Amen? It's important that we understand that. Put your trust in God and not in people. It's good to have good friends, and I've got friends I can trust. But you know what? I'm just as human as that person that I'm trusting, and I know how I've made mistakes. I know how I've said dumb things at times. I know that. I know I am capable of making mistakes because I'm human. And I don't mean to, but I know I'm capable of it. Not that you can't trust me. I'm sorry. I want to be trustworthy. I really do. But I can't be trustworthy if I'm going to sit at home and not trust that God's going to... I can't be deceived by these lies. Staying connected with my church, and it makes this easier. It makes this whole life easier. That's what I'm getting at. Don't let somebody stop you from serving in the church. Don't let somebody stop you from serving in the church. God has a purpose in each and every one of our lives. And to complete that purpose, we can't focus on what somebody says or focus on what somebody thinks. We have to do what God is calling us to do and do it. And not worry about those things. Because when we do, that's where Satan just gets in there. He starts twisting that old knife and he starts growing. You know, you get that bitterness starts in you, and then you don't want nothing to do with somebody, and then you won't talk to them, and then you turn your back. You know, and then it makes this big old thing goes on, this bunch of drama. Nobody knows about drama, do they? But see, those things happen. That's just reality, right, when you deal with people. That's humanity. But God says don't focus on that stuff. 2 Corinthians 2:5 and 11. Let's go back. That's going back there again to the New Testament. I've got a scripture here that goes along with what I'm just talking about. 2:11, right? Isn't that what I said? 2 Corinthians 2:5. Let me find it here. Is that right? I'll let you get caught up. Okay, if anyone has caused grief, he has not so much grieved me as he has grieved all of you to some extent. Not to put it severely, the punishment inflicted on him by the majority is sufficient. Now instead, you ought to forgive and comfort him. You see what I'm saying? So that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. Somebody hurts you, you just forgive them. Love them. You know, we're not here to destroy people. We're here to encourage each other. You know, try to get people. I want everybody to go to heaven. I don't want anybody not to make it. Right? Time to go. I got to hurry. Number 5. We talk God pain. I mean, what I mean by God pain is God didn't do something I wanted him to do. I prayed about something, and I knew God would take care of it, and he didn't do it. You ever hear somebody use that excuse? I prayed, and it never happened. A loved one got sick and died. I've heard that happen. I've heard that before. And people will get grieved by that, and they will blame God. They will blame God. And I've heard, you know, especially when I was at the homeless mission in Carbondale, I heard a lot of people, and people had good, in a sense, you almost understood what they were saying. And I know I've told this story before, but I was given a devotion about how good God was and how loving he was and how kind he was. You know, and I had a guy stand up at me, and he swore at me, and he said, "How can you tell me how good God is when I've never had anything in my life good happen?" You know, my mom was a prostitute. He said, "I was on the street in Chicago when I was just a little boy," and he said, "I had to live the streets with the gangs," and he said, All these things, he said, I had happened to me. He's, you know, a drug addict and alcoholic. But all these bad things happened to him all of his life. He never had anything good. And he said, I have prayed and nothing ever come good. What do you say to that? What do you say to that? God pain. God pain. Romans 8:28. The only scripture that I could ever say, and it's hard to understand at times, but it says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That's all things, good and bad. Bad things happen to people. But the scripture says that all things work for the good of God in some reason. It's hard to understand. It's hard to explain that to somebody that's never had anything good happen to them. But I know that when we put our trust in him, it is for his purpose that things, they just work out. Those are some of the mysteries. This is probably one of the toughest ones right here, is this God pain. But it keeps people out of church. It keeps people from getting connected with God and knowing the love of God that we know. And it's difficult. And I think the number one thing that can bring people like that to Christ is when God's people are unified and loving and kind. And when they're connected together like that, and they show forgiveness to each other, and they show love to each other, and they give to each other, that's what connects to those people. Amen. 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 Thanks for sharing with that, Jason. That's good. You know, there are a lot of hurting people in this world. There's a lot of bruised people in this world. And sometimes those bruised people are overlooked. They really are. But those are the people that Jesus came to save. He came here to save those people. You know, and he said, since I'm gone, I'm going to leave you with that task. I'm going to leave you to do that job for me while I'm gone, because where I'm going, you can't go. And he said, now I want you to do this for me. I did this for you. Now you go do this for me. And so what did he do? How did he show his love? He showed his love by dying on a cross. And, you know, but as he walked on the face of the earth, he showed humility. He showed love. He showed forgiveness. He showed compassion. He showed all these things to people. And then yet they rejected him. And we will get rejected at times. But through all that, if we keep persevering through all that, people will get saved. But we have to stay strong, and we can't focus on the lies that Satan wants us to focus on. We can't. Number 6. If you're good, you'll go to heaven. If you're good, you'll go to heaven. Everybody's going to heaven. You ever heard that one? If you're a good person, you're going to go to heaven. There's a lot of good people in the world. There's a lot of good people. They're going to be deceived one of these, or they're going to be surprised one of these days. I don't mean that jokingly, but I believe they'll be surprised one of these days when they find out that their goodness didn't get them where they thought they'd get. And I hear a lot of people talk about that, especially, you know, if you go to a funeral, you can, you know, and it grieves me at times, you know, when you see people that say, well, we know they're in heaven, and you're thinking, I hope they are. But somehow in your heart, you're grieved because you know the life that they lived, the example that they left, wasn't one that is scripturally sound. And you have to believe that, you know, man, I hope that they are. But their goodness won't get you to heaven. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians is a good book. It's got a lot of good stuff in it. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Your goodness doesn't get you to heaven. It's only by the grace of Jesus Christ. And in verse 8 of chapter 2, it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves." You hear that? This is not from yourselves. You can't do it yourself. It's nothing that you do. You can do all the things that you want. You can give all you want. You can come and give all your money away to the church. You can come and give all your time to the church. You can do all the things that you want, and they're good things. You can serve in the church. You can even teach Sunday school in the church. You can do all those works. But if you're doing it for yourself, it won't get you where you need to go. Only by the grace of Jesus Christ. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. And that's only accepting Him in your life and in your heart. It says it's not by works in verse 9. It's not by works so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Listen to that. He's already prepared something for you to do in advance. These works. But you don't do them. You do them out of love. Amen? Your goodness is not going to get you to heaven. It's only by the grace of Jesus Christ. I believe that hell is going to be filled with a lot of good people. And it's sad. A lot of people that thought that they had it all right. And you know that scripture, we say it and repeat it over and over again. There's going to be a lot. Say, you hear Jesus say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." And they'll say, "Didn't I do this? Didn't I prophesy? Didn't I do these things? Didn't I cast out demons? They did all these things, but yet their goodness didn't get them to heaven. Their goodness didn't get them to heaven." I hope this gives you a little bit of maybe a inspiration to study and read. Because, you know, the best way that we can speak to people, and when we come across these discussions that we have at times, is to read and study our scripture. Because everything that we need to know is right here in how to tell people the truth. It's right here. It's written right here in the scripture. And it doesn't take much to look and find it. And you know, we have a lot at our hands and our fingertips now. I mean, a question that you have, all you have to do is Google it. Google knows everything. I mean, you can even Google part of a scripture and it'll come up just like that, which is handy. It really is for study. But I'm telling you, don't let Satan deceive you. But it's an encouragement to be able to answer these questions to somebody when they're presented to you. Because I know I've been there. I've been asked questions at times and you look, you know, you really don't know what to say. But through study and reading, I find that God gives me what to say. Because I've been diligent enough to start reading my Bible, reading my scripture, and then when I get these questions asked, I can say, "Give me a second here. Well, let's look in Ephesians here, and I think, and we'll look through that, and I'll find it." Or I can look in Romans, and I say, "Hey, here's Romans chapter 10, says this about this." You know, and I've had people say, "Well, where does it say in the Bible I can't drink? That drinking a beer every now and then is going to send me to hell." Well, it doesn't say that. There's no scripture that says that. You know, and it even says for the qualifications for a deacon, not to have too much strong drink. Well, what's that mean? It means he must have had a little drink, just not too much. But I'll tell you what it does say. Right there, we just read it. It says that a drunkard will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, where does that put you? I can't answer that, but you can. So that's your, you make that decision yourself. I'm not encouraging anybody to drink because I've never seen anything good come out of drinking. Anybody here that can tell you that anything good come out of their drinking life, right? No, it never did. I've seen way too many people lose everything they had, their relationships or connections, I mean everything, because of alcohol. So I can't encourage that at all. But I can tell you, because of my studies, that it helps when you read and study your Bible. I'm just encouraging you to do that. Please do that. Let's stand for prayer. Dear Lord, I hope I spoke clearly what you wanted me to say tonight, Lord. Lord, I hope it gives us some understanding in how to reach people better. And that's what I think you wanted us to get across tonight, Lord, is how to reach people better. Lord, how can we help people? And Lord, I just thank you for your word, Lord. We just lift you up tonight, Lord. I just thank you for your Holy Spirit here. Lord, I just pray that each and every person that's here tonight, Lord, that just hears your word, receives your word, and when they leave here better than they came. Lord, and just give us wisdom, give us strength, give us the understanding that we need, that when we leave this place today, tonight, that when we go to our work tomorrow, where we're at tomorrow, when we run into people, where we meet people, that we're able to connect with them and share your love with them. Lord, I praise you. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.